Amen. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody who is watching via YouTube and Facebook. And hopefully one day we'll have even more methods to get this out to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to September 12th, 2021. Amen. We this morning will be blessed with a good word. I'm going to open us up with prayer. But before we pray, I want us to think about something. Now, yesterday, we had all of the commemoration services throughout the country for what happened 20 years ago. I'm sure, given our proximity to New York and to Washington, D.C., that you either knew somebody who lost somebody or you knew somebody who got out. Many of us have that connection. But what I thought was something to be noted about all of the celebrations and the memorials for yesterday, by celebrations I mean honoring those who passed away, was that many of the commentators lamented about how we were so unified the day after and in the weeks after, and they compared it to how divided this country is now. And I ask you to keep that in mind as you keep hearing prayers and preaching about faith, about the unity of the faith, about the church being one body. Because we never want to say, oh, as Christians, we were divided. We are to be unified. We are called together. And you think about how unified America was, how strong we were when we were together. How much more in our service of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He is the one that brings us together, when we do what He wants, and we are unified, doing what He wants. And the only way we're going to find that out is by reading His Word, praying, studying to show ourselves approved, right? Let us all rise. I will open us up in prayer, but let us think about the unity of the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You, O Lord. Thank You for creating a place where we can assemble in Your name. Thank You for creating a place where we can sit down and hear Your word. Thank You for anointing our pastor to preach the word. Anoint our ears this morning, Lord Jesus, to hear Your word. Anoint our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, to receive Your word. Write Your word on the fleshy tables of our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Write Your word on us this morning, Christ Jesus, that our minds would be transformed and renewed, that we would be unified. Oh, touch us right now this morning. Send a good word that draws us unto You. Send us a good word that draws us together. Send us a good word that unifies us. Send us a good word that witnesses to Your glory. Lord, that as this nation hurts from incidents from 20 years ago and from incidents from last week, as this neighborhood hurts because of the violence that's been going on, as we hurt because we may not have jobs and may wonder how we're going to get through, bring us together, Christ Jesus. Give us a word of witness to those who need it, that they would seek after You, that they would trust in You. Help us right now, Lord Jesus, that we would be willing, humble vessels, that we would serve You with our whole heart. Bring us together, Christ Jesus, that You would be glorified, that You would be honored by the things we do and what we say. Take over, Lord. have your way in this service. Whether it be people watching at home or in the sanctuary, Lord, that your word would just go forth out over the airwaves, out through the internet, into people's homes and touch them right now. That every single one of us would be transformed by the end of this service. Transformed to serve you in a greater way. Transformed to trust you even more. Transformed to be unified. Transformed to be patient with people. Transformed to seek peace at all times. Transformed to support one another. Transformed to love one another as you have loved us. Work on us right now, Lord Jesus. For this is your day. And we glorify you. We ask that you would feed us this morning by anointing that word that we will hear, that we would receive it. Hallelujah. And be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming out and for tuning in. Going to get started with the service. It is our communion Sunday. So if you are at home, please prepare the juice and the crackers that you have prayed over and set aside for our communion service, so that when we begin that portion of our service, you are ready to go. Amen. So you may take a moment right now where you're at home. I'm going to call up our brother Brown, because he's going to give us a musical selection. Hasn't he been blessing us? Amen. Haven't we been blessed? We've been hearing some singing every Sunday. Jesus. We don't have our full praise and worship team.
Glory.
But hallelujah. We still got musicians over there.
Thank you, Jesus.
We got singers over here. All so that we may rejoice. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So if you're sitting in your home right now trying to get into it, trying to get yourself going, right now, let all the stuff that's on you fall by the wayside.
Thank you, Jesus.
From this point forward, so that you are prepared in your heart and mind. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Brother Brown, go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Scripture says that there be no division among you. We know Christ tore down the middle partition wall. We just want to thank God for blessing us and encouraging us at this season in our lives. He is the bread of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Bread of life. Sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, O Holy King, a carpenter, 'cause you are the living word, bread of life, sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, O Holy King, a carpenter, you are the living word. Awesome ruler, Gentile redeemer. Hallelujah. God is with us, the living truth. And what a friend we have in you. You are the living word. Awesome ruler, Gentile redeemer. Born in a manger, put on a tree to die for all of humanity. You are the living word. Awesome ruler, Gentile redeemer. Born in a manger, put on a what we call you. No other but the name of Jesus can bring us through. Jesus, Jesus. All of you out there, if you know the song, just sing it. Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you. Made your bone, put on the tree. You died for all humanity. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on and sing it. You know the song. Give God glory. That's what we call him. He's born in a manger, put on a tree to die for all humanity. Come on, Jesus. Come on and let me sing. Jesus, Jesus, that's what we call you. Born in a manger. Oh, and you died for all humanity. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
But sometimes if you just shed that stuff that's holding you down, I'm going to call up our brother Khalil, and he's going to tell us why he loves our pastor. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. So this morning I'll be talking to you about why I love my pastor. There's a lot of reasons, but I want to time constraint for my own good. So my number one reason is because he's always been there for me whenever I call him. Sometimes, you know, I see him every Sunday, every morning, but sometimes it may be like a month or two that goes by before I reach out to him to say hello. And he reaches out to me around every 2 weeks, but I'm pretty busy. I always don't answer my phone. I always miss calls. I'm really bad at calling him back. But when I do call him back, he's always there. He's always like, hey, I've been meaning to catch up with you. How are you doing? How's everything? He prays with me on the phone. You all know my prayer life is pretty bad. But he's been helping me build that over the last year and a half. So I really love him for that and always being there for me spiritually. And that's why I love my pastor. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let's start with the communion service. Amen. Amen. So first I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we're going to have Deacon Abrams come up. He's going to read our confession of faith. Then we'll have prayer over the sacrament. And then the pastor will come out. We'll start with our communion. Amen. So if you're at home, have everything prepared. Amen. So if we can all stand while I'm reading God's word, I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this time I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Amen. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home, so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. Amen. Amen. Deacon Abrams is going to read our confession of faith.
Good morning, Taylor. Please repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And I will ask Deacon Ty to bless the table.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are truly sorry and we humbly repent. Lord, forgive us our sins and the things that have hindered us, that we would receive your body and receive your blood in a worthy manner. Christ Jesus, cleanse us right now. We do this in remembrance of you. We do this to honor you. Lord, right now, the sacraments that have been prepared in the sanctuary and in the home, that the bread or the cracker would represent your body, that the juice would represent your shed blood. Consecrate them right now. And consecrate us to receive you, Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. With that, I'm now going to yield the floor to our pastor for our communion.
Good morning, and God bless you. Thank God for another Lord's Sunday morning. What a privilege we have to gather ourselves around the Lord's table, to participate in koinonia, have fellowship one with another, those that are of like precious faith. So at this time, if you have your sacraments prepared, we'll begin with the bread. We thank all of you that are joining us virtually online, and whatever you have consecrated and set aside for the purpose of Holy Communion, take what you have representing his body. You may have bread, you may have crackers. As we recall the night on which Jesus was betrayed, the Bible tells us that he took bread. He broke it and he blessed it. He told his disciples, "This is my body, broken for you." And he said, "Eat ye all of it." After the same manner, he also took the cup of thanksgiving. And he told his disciples that this now represents his shed blood. And it activates the new agreement, the new covenant that now exists between God and believers everywhere that would accept his sacrifice. He told his disciples, "Drink ye all of it." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great sacrifice on our behalf. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for the remission of our sins by faith in your sacrifice. Thank you for the atoning work of the cross. Thank you for the demonstration of your great power in the resurrection. Lord, and we thank you for the promise that is ours, that one day you will return for us, and that we'll have an opportunity to go and be in that place that you have prepared for us in the Father's house. So we glorify you. We honor you. We bless your name. And we thank you for another communion service. Let us leave from this place ever mindful of the price paid for our salvation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Hey, Norm, can you bring me that bottle of oil off my desk? And a handkerchief, or a towel or something in there. Before we turn our attention to the Word of God, I do want to apologize as I was getting ready to come out. My button snapped off my collar, and so I'm unable to have my minister bar up here. Thank you. But that's the only reason for the open collar on this communion Sunday. But what I wanted to do is, before we get into the Word of God, is to reflect with our nation that 20 years ago, after four coordinated terrorist attacks, killed 2,977 people on American soil, our nation remembers the events of 9/11. So I'm going to ask that you would join with me, both here in the sanctuary as well as online, and to just take a moment and remember those who lost their lives, those who gave their lives, and those families, and those friends, and those communities in which those lives are now absent. And some of those folks are even in our church who lost loved ones, friends, colleagues. So if you would, if we could just bow our heads for a moment of silence. Our God and our Father, we ask that you remember those whose lives were taken 20 years ago. Remember those who sacrificed their lives in an attempt to save others. Remember those families, those friends, whose lives are now void as a result of an untimely death. We pray that you would comfort them, keep them. Even now, 20 years later, for many, the pain is just as real today as it was then. So we ask that you would give the comfort that only God can give, the comfort to keep them, cause them and allow them to feel your presence, and to know that in spite of it all, God is still on the throne. And for that, we thank you and we praise you. And now, as we've come to gather in this place to hear a word from the Lord, so we ask that you would give us ears to hear. Father, we ask that you would give us eyes to see, that you would give us hearts willing to obey. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles, we're going right to the Word of God. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Again, just taking another look at the ministry of the prophet Elisha. We're also going to add to the witness out of 1 Corinthians, and I do want to note a correction. This is on the pastor. We're going to add to the witness out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter, verses 4 through 11. I gave the wrong scripture reference to the AV team, and so that's not on them, that's on me. 2 Corinthians 4, it'll be our primary text, and then we'll also look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. If you have your Bibles, I am going to invite you to stand with me. You're there, it says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is now coming to take my two sons to be slaves. And so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? He said, tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And so when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it on to all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him. She shut the door behind her and her sons who had brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there is not another vessel. And so the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. Amen. Let's just add to the witness quickly out of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to pick up at verse 4. Says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen. This morning, I want to talk from the subject, really to lift it up out of our primary text, out of 2 Kings, I want to talk from the subject, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? And to narrow it down, what I'm really going after this morning is I want to give you keys to discovering your spiritual gifts. Okay? I want to give you keys to discovering your spiritual gifts. Amen? You may be seated all over the sanctuary. And if you are standing at home, you may now take a seat as well. Feel free to take a moment and get your coffee or green tea before coming back to the sofa to join us. Amen? That was a joke and nobody got it, but it's going to be that kind of Sunday. That's all right. We'll still get there. Here we go. I want to start. I want to give you keys for discovering your spiritual gift. And I really want to use this text of the widow woman, and I just want to highlight three keys to discovering your spiritual gift. One is I want you to understand that trouble can often lead you to discovering your spiritual gift. Okay? Trouble can often lead you to discovering your spiritual gift. I'm not saying don't take a class on spiritual gifts. I'm not saying don't get a video. Do all of that. Do all you can. But what I have found in my own life and in my own relationship with God, that trouble has been more of a catalyst in unearthing and helping me identify my gift than anything else. You got that? Also, another key is to understand that obedience will often help you identify your spiritual gift. Obedience will often help you identify your spiritual gift. And then lastly, faith will help you activate your spiritual gift. Obedience will help you identify it, and then faith will actually help you activate that gift in your life. Amen? So if I can have 5 minutes on each key, 15 minutes, we can call it a wrap. Amen? So the text says there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. Husband has died, and she comes to Elijah and says, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And now his creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. According to the Mosaic law, creditors could enslave debtors and their children to work off debt when they could not pay. Find a reference for that in Exodus, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 4. The rich people and creditors, however, were not to take advantage of those who were destitute. You can find a reference for that in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Okay? So what is happening here is not unlawful. Okay? Her husband had taken out apparently a loan, and before he could pay it back, he has passed away, and now that debt has been passed over to his wife, who survives him, but not being able to pay, the creditor is now going against what you and I would call the lien that was on that loan, and now he's requiring that his sons come and work for him until they pay off this debt. And this terrible situation has now led the woman, the widow woman, to now go to the prophet and saying, look, I'm in trouble. As long as my husband was alive and working, things were going good. He was paying back the loan. Everything was working well. Everything was good. But now my husband is dead, and I found myself in a world of trouble. I got bills I can't pay. Not only can I not pay them, now this creditor is telling me he's coming to take my sons to work for him as slaves until the debt can be repaid. That takes away their life. My life is lost because I have no way to earn and to care for myself. So now, man of God, what am I going to do? And so Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? He said, tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. One of the most important questions for every born again, blood washed believer is this. What do you have in the house? Okay? The prophet asked the woman, he says, you know, what can I do? Prophet said, look, I'm trying to keep my little bills paid. Now you're trying to now come and now your bills. And he just said, just tell me, what do you have in the house? Okay. The woman's life has gone from good to bad. She's now in a troubled situation, and now it is her trouble that is going to cause her to find her gift. She comes to the man of God, and he simply asked her this question, and that is, what do you have in the house? Okay? You want to help me preach this morning, find someone near you in the sanctuary. If you're at home, yell upstairs, find somebody, and simply ask them, what do you have in the house? Okay, y'all were really supposed to do, like, actually ask somebody, what do you have in the house? Follow, remember, obedience will, all right, whatever. Obviously, I need to preach and move on. It's going to be that kind of Sunday. That's all right. You have those Sundays. What do you have in the house? And the point I want to make, and the point I believe Elijah was trying to demonstrate to the widow woman, is that everybody has something in the house. I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're white or black, male or female, I don't care if you're young or old, God has given every believer something to work with. Look at somebody and say, I got something to work with. I may not have what you have to work with, but I got something to work with. And the key to the whole thing is you just got to find out where it is in the house. What happens oftentimes when it comes to spiritual gifts is a lot of people say, you know what, Pastor? I don't have a spiritual gift. Pastor, I don't have anything to work with in my spiritual Christian journey. And the reality is, First Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, he said, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So Peter tells us that everyone has, not everyone, every believer has received a gift. Are you with me in this? That's why I can say to you, every believer's got something to work with. Okay? It may not be what someone else has, you know what I mean? But you have something to work with, and it's in the house. So the widow woman answers and says, well, the only thing that I see in my house is this little jar of oil. That's all I got. Cupboards are clear. We're scaled down. The only thing I have in my house is a little jar of oil. They used to sing a song in the old church. They used to sing, little is much when God is in it. I wish I had a witness this Sunday. I could preach that. That's all she had. She said, that's all I have. And listen to this. Oftentimes, when you discover your gift, it often starts small. A lot of times people get tripped up with the spiritual gift because they want something big. They want something that everyone can see. Let me tell you something. Anything that's big started small. Anything that you see that's huge, great, big, it didn't start that way. It started out small. That's why the Bible says what? Do not despise the days of what? Small beginnings. Because that's how the oil starts in just a little. What can this small amount of oil do against the debt I owe? Are you with me this Sunday? Here it is, verse 3. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. Thing I want you to focus on, he says, go and gather empty vessels and do not get just a few. Okay? Get as many as you can. Why? Because God's getting ready to bless you. And the only limitation on God's blessing to you is just how many vessels you get. The only thing that's going to limit God is you. God's not going to slow down. God's going to go all the way out if you can go, what? All the way out. So he said, look, go gather empty vessels. When I was a young boy, we had our house, the neighbor's house, and in between us was a yard. And oftentimes, my mother and our neighbors, the neighboring house, Mrs. Williams, they would cook. And one of the things they would do, they would have the windows open. And if one was cooking, they would yell across. This is before cell phones. I don't know. It might have been even stone. They would just yell across the yard. Laverne, send me a cup of sugar. I'm baking a cake and I'm out. And I don't want to run to the store. John, go over there and get me a half a cup of flour from Miss Williams. That's what they would, I mean, we'd be out playing in the yard, playing football. And they just, yeah, Lucille, send me, I need some chocolate chips. Send me a handful of chocolate chips. And we go with our dirty hands and carry it. Elijah said, I want you to go and I want you to get empty vessels. And I want them to be empty because God's going to fill it, not anybody else. Now, if she would have gone and told the people, hey, this is what's going on, the debtors, my son, I don't know. They may have sent her a vessel, but they may have put some of their oil in it, right, to help her out. Say, look, I got two vessels, and one is full, and one is half full. And I'm going to give you that to help you out in your situation, okay? But Elisha tells her, make sure when you get the vessels, make sure they're, here it is. Genesis 14:23, Abram says to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing, not even a thread to a sandal strap, that I will take nothing from you, lest you say, I have made Abram rich. Be careful who you let bless you. Be careful who you allow to bless you. Because sometimes when people bless you, they'll also keep that blessing over your head the rest of your life. Now you know I'm the reason you got that car. Nobody else. It wasn't until you came to me, your uncle, your mama didn't give it, your dad, no. When you came to Uncle Fred, I said, yes, I'll give you the $2,500 and let you get that car. Here I am, a grown man, and he's still, well, whatever. Maybe you know, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes if you allow people to bless you, they will keep that thing over your head. But if you allow God to bless, I wish I had a real church. Elijah said, don't get any vessels that already has oil in it. Tell your neighbors, I want empty vessels. Because whatever is getting ready to happen in my life, I'm going to give all of the praise unto the Lord my God. Look at somebody, say empty vessels. He said, not only do I want them to be empty, he said, I want you to get as many as you can get. As many as you can get your hand on, get them, tell your sons, bring it in the house. Are you with me? Isaiah 43:19. This is the word of God. He says, behold, I'm going to do what? A new thing. Right? When God, when you discover your spiritual gift, that's going to be a new moment in your walk with God. A new moment in your relationship with Christ. And he's going to do a new thing. And so you've got to start making room for God to work in your life. Look at somebody and say, make room. And you can make room with just a few jars. You got to get as many jars as you can. You got to get as many vessels as you can. You got to make as much room as you can. Why? Because God's getting ready to do something in your life. Look at somebody and say, God's getting ready to do something in your life. Here it is, verse 4. It said, when you come in, shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Since the widow's need was private, her provision was also to be private. Did you hear me? Since the widow's need was private, no one knew it but her, her sons, and the prophet. Right? Her provision is also to be private. Are you with me? Look at someone and say, keep it private. Not everything is meant for everybody. I wish I could get a witness. Here you look, this is extra. This is not even, this is another key and it's not even on the list. I'll give it to you. You will often discover your gift in a private setting with a small beginning. That's not even on, that's a bonus key. You will often discover your gift in a private setting and with a small beginning. He said, when you've got empty vessels, bring it in the house. Don't leave the house. Don't leave the door open. Don't leave the window. He said, shut the door. What God is getting ready to do in your life is going to be done privately. Difficult to get over these days, right? Why? Because we live in a time where everybody is trying to go public. Everybody wants to put everything about their life out for public consumption. And I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, not everything is for everybody. Some stuff is just between you and God. Look at somebody and say, shut the door. What's getting ready to happen next is just between you and God. Look at them and say, shut the door. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't put it out on Instagram. Don't put it out on chatbots or whatever else they're using. What God is getting ready to do in your life is between you and him. Can I get a witness? And look, and if I didn't, I brought a witness with me. Look what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at somebody say, get in the secret place. Look at somebody say, get in the secret place. The secret place. That's the place nobody else knows about. That's the place nobody else even knows exists. A place just for you and God. If I can just get to the secret place, I can discover my gift in the secret place. I get my anointing
in the secret place. God reveals himself unto me. Look at somebody and say, shut the door.
Here it is. Here it is, verse 5. So she went from him, shut the door behind her. The sons brought the vessels to her. She began to pour the oil out. She got quiet, got private, and all verse 5, she obeyed the word of the prophet. I don't read where she questioned him. I don't believe where she asked why. I don't read where she said, well, how is this going to help my situations with my creditors? The text said, look what the text says. So she went from him and shut the door. Right? And then had, and her sons brought her the vessels, and she began to pour the oil out. Another key is obedience will help you to identify your spiritual gift. I remember being a young boy, matter of fact, here in this church. And I remember coming to church one Sunday. Back then we would have Sunday school prior to the morning worship. And I remember Elder Williams said to me one Sunday, she said, give me your Sunday school book. So I gave her my Sunday school book. And in exchange, she gave me the adult teacher workbook. Oh, okay. She said, next Sunday, you're going to teach the adult Sunday school class. Like most young people, I didn't even want to go to Sunday school. I went because I had to go, not because I wanted to go. And now you're going to tell me now I got to stand up in front of everyone and now teach the Sunday school. And it was only because of obedience that I did it. That's the only reason I did it. Inside, I was all over the place. I'm like, what is the other way you was talking about? I don't want to teach nobody. I barely raise my hand when there's a question on the floor. Now you want me to teach. But it was that simple obedience to do something I didn't want to do that began to help me identify my spiritual gift. Right? The majority of the people in the adult class at that time were all over 65. So if I did ask a question of them, most of them couldn't hear me. And a lot of you think I got my preaching voice as I got older. I got my preaching voice in Sunday school. Who was Abraham? They couldn't hear me. So I got my preaching voice from being obedient. Because if anyone sat further than the first row, I had to repeat it 3 or 4 times. So that's how I got my preaching voice. Not only did I get my preaching voice, I tapped into my preaching gift. All because of what? Obedience. I didn't want to teach. Hardly wanted to be there in the first place. Being a PK kid, you're there all the time, which means half the time you don't want to be there. But because of obedience, I want you to get this, I began to identify my spiritual gift. Look at somebody and say, just obey. The widow's obedience tapped into her faith in God. Now get this. Before her husband's death, she lived in the shadow of her husband's faith. Why? Her husband was a prophet. Her husband was a man of God. Anyone who led prayer in the house, it was her husband. Anyone that interceded with God, it was her husband. Causing her to never realize that she had something inside of her. But when trouble arose, husband died, no longer available. By simple obedience to the man of God, she begins to pour out the oil. Here it is. 2 Timothy says this, 2 Timothy 1 and 6, he said, I remind you, he said, stir up the gift of God which is inside of you. He said, I know it's there because I laid hands on you and I felt the transfer. I know the anointing is on you. And I don't know what Elder Williams knew, but something told her, it's time to make a transfer. He said, I'm taking that gift and I'm putting it on this guy and encourage him to stir that gift up. My message to my church this Sunday, stir that gift. Obey the word of God. Stir that anointing. Stir that gift. Stir what you have in the house. Because God is going to bless you. Shout yes. Touch somebody and say, stir it up. Here it is. Verse 6. I got to get out. Here it is. So it comes to pass, the vessels were full. And then she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Said, Mom, there is not another vessel to bring. And it was only then that the oil ceased. But it's as long as she poured it out, watch this, the oil kept flowing. I wish I had a real church. Get this. I'm going to give you this. Faith will help activate your spiritual gift. All believers have been given saving faith by God as the only means of receiving salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Also in Romans, it says he has given every man what? A measure. And that's saving faith. That's so that if when you hear the gospel, you have faith to believe it. But not all believers are given the spiritual gift of faith. Are you with me? The gift of faith may be defined as the special gift whereby the Holy Spirit provides Christians with extraordinary confidence in God's promises, in God's power, and in God's presence, so they can take heroic stands for the future of God's work in the church. The spiritual gift of faith is exhibited by one with a strong and unshakable confidence in God, His word, and in His promises. And I believe the Holy Spirit has given me this message because there are people in the body of Christ who have the gift of faith. Not saving faith. You already demonstrated that because you've received the gospel and have come to Christ. But to some of you, he has given a next level of faith. The gift of faith. And my job in preaching this message is to cause you to stir that gift up for the body of Christ. God is ready to do something in your life, in the life of the church, in the life of the community, in the life of this country, but he needs somebody with the gift of faith
to believe that God can do it. Look around the just church and just ask, is it you? Are you the one? Are you the one with something in your house? But because it looks small, because they don't preach about it anymore, because they don't talk about it anymore, you're not bothering with it. It must not be important anymore. That must have been for then and not now. Are you with me? Because of the widow's faith, the oil kept flowing. Her obedience started the oil. Are you with me? But it was her gift of faith that kept the oil flowing. Are you with me? I'm going to prove it to you and I'm done. That's it. Here it is. She went for him, shut the door. Now it says it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Now I'm going to use this Sunday to get you off my back. Y'all been riding me all year, but I got something for you this Sunday. Y'all going to leave me alone after this Sunday. When she tapped into her gift, the more oil she poured out, the more faith she stirred up. She poured out again. That one full. She looked back at the jar and guess what? It's still full. I'm gonna use my holy imagination. But now I see the widow woman, her hands starting to shake. That's a sign the anointing was on the oil. She poured out another. Look at that. That one's full. But guess what? The oil's still flowing. It's not done. And I believe the widow woman got happy and kept pouring out the oil because the anointing of the Lord God was upon her and the oil. So much so, she told her elders, bring me another vessel to fill. Why? Because the oil is flowing and I can't shut it off. Look at somebody and say, leave the pastor alone. So every time I go over my 35 minute allotment, don't get mad with the pastor. I've tapped in to my gift, and when the oil starts to flow, I can't, the widow couldn't shut it off. It's something about the anointing of God. When it stirs up, you can't shut it off. When it gets going, you can't turn it off. Look at somebody and say, let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God. For 18 years, he never said nothing. 18 years went to the synagogue and listened to other men preach. For 18 years, he humbled himself, obedient to his mother and father. But one Sabbath, he went to the temple. They gave him the scroll, and Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me now to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to captive souls everywhere. Look at somebody and say, I can't turn it off. This is what happens when you tap into your gift. You just can't turn it off. That widow's hand kept shaking and she kept pouring. She looked at her sons and said, listen, boys, you better bring me another vessel. The oil is flowing. And as long as the anointing of God is on me, I can do more with God than I can by myself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me now. Verse 7, and we're done. Verse 7. She came to the man of God. He said, I've done what you said. Go sell the oil. Pay your debts. And you and your son shall live on the rest. God is going to use something in your house. The gifts you have, given to you by the Holy Spirit, is not only going to bless you and your household, it's going to bless the household of faith. If you have enough faith, it's going to bless your surrounding community. Stop complaining about what's not being done and ask God to give you a vision about what to do. All the man of God did was give her a vision of what to do about her problem. He said, God's plan for you is to use that bottle of oil. What is God's plan for you? What is it that you have in your house? And by in your house, first I mean within your body. That's your spiritual gift. Something given to you by the Holy Spirit. Then broader than that, something in your house, your natural house, your physical house. Don't you throw away everything. I wish I had a real church. Before you throw it away, pray about it. That may be the bottle of oil. This pandemic hit, and I'm way over time. And since I done got you off my back, I can keep going. I ain't got to worry about it. The pandemic hit. One day my neighbors, without walking, they came and knocked on the door. Hey, she said, I made you and your family mask. Like, oh, wow, that's great. It's nice. So where'd you get these from? She said, down in my basement, I found my grandmother's sewing machine. She said, I haven't used it since we bought the house. But because of the pandemic, because of trouble, she said, I took it out. And guess what? It started to work. And said, all this week, I've just been sewing masks. She made one for all the neighbors in the neighborhood. 2 months later, she came back and gave me over 100 for the church. Over something she had forgotten about. Had it not been for the pandemic, she would have thrown it away the next chance. But because of trouble, because her husband said, what you should do is start making masks. You know how to sew. This is at the very beginning. There's a shortage of masks. All the mask suppliers were out. If anything, you had to wait for the 6 weeks. He said, why don't you sew some masks? She said she started sewing and couldn't stop. This is her testimony, not mine. She said, I started sewing and I couldn't stop. Make some for your family. Make some for your Christian family.
made some for the community. And I just, why? Got stirred up in her again. Something old. Something not even used in it. People don't sew anymore. But trouble calls to identify it. Discover it again. Obedience to her husband's voice. Got her started again. And once she stirred that gift again, she couldn't turn it off. And God used her gift not only to bless her family, but to bless my family. All the neighbors, all the children in the neighborhood, God bless. And she made them with stuff she knew the kids like. So the kids like fish. She made them a fish face mask. All of my boys like football, so she made us all Eagles face masks. Not that we're going to wear them this year, but that's something else. Let the church say amen. that's for another. Listen, stir your gift and hear the word of the prophet. You stir your gift, it's going to cause you and your sons to live on the rest. I'm saying all this to say God wants to bless you. And what he's going to use to bless you is already in your house. It's already there. You don't have to go to someone else's house. You don't have to go to another ministry. You don't have to join a different church. All you've got to do is answer the question. What is in your house? Because that's what he's going to use to bless you. This miracle is going to come from within. Are you with me? This message is for you. You got to get this. This is not small time preaching. This is the real deal. This is where the rubber meets the road. Or do you want to die complaining about what you could have had? She was about to lose her sons. That put their life in jeopardy. That put her life in jeopardy. Have you ever spoken to a bitter old person? Not good. Bitter over what they could have done. But for what, and the list is long, for why they didn't do it or could, and now they're old and what? Can't do it. And so now, the Bible said a root of bitterness. I don't know why you won't hear the word of God. I don't know why. Don't let that be. If this woman would have ignored the word from God, she would have died an old, bitter widow. But because of simple obedience to instructions that didn't even make sense, what is oil going to do with what I owe? But because she stirred it up, because it activated her gift of faith. And she just believed. She believed that God could not only fill these vessels. She said, if my boys could find another vessel. She said, I believe the oil would keep flowing. And it would have. And look, because she stirred up again. Look what the prophet said. Pay off your debt. Raise your hand if you want to one day be debt free. Financial independence. God gave her financial independence. She didn't owe nobody. And still had something left over. For the rest of her lifetime. And to give an inheritance to her sons. So they wouldn't have to start out life broke. All because she stirred up her gift. All because she did an inventory of what was in the house. And God showed her a little bottle of oil. And it changed the balance of her life. So I say to you again, give more earnest heed to the Word of God. This message is for somebody listening today. Discover your gift. Your life, the life of your family, the life of your church hangs in the balance. And when you find it, this is all it's going to be. Not going to be nothing big. Going to be nothing great. It's going to be a little bottle of oil. But if you stir it up, if you stir it up, I'm telling you, it'll keep flowing. As long as you can keep believing God, it'll keep, whatever that gets, it'll keep going. And that's what he wants to do in the life of the church today, right now. So my job is to encourage you. Stir that gift. As we go into this week of fasting, pray that God show you your gift. Remember, he may show it to you in the form of trouble, but what? At least you'll find it. At least you'll know where it is. At least you'll know what it is. And as you fast, say, Lord, help me to stir it. Help me to use it for your glory. Help me to use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. I'm going to tell you, once that oil starts flowing, it's going to bless you the rest of your life. Shall we all stand? We thank God for the example of the widow woman. And my prayer today is that you would look at her life. And out of all the days of her life, God just recorded that one snapshot. Just those few days. That's all we don't know how her life started. We got a picture of how it ended. But she just records that few days. In just those few days, God changed her life. She was blessed more after the death of her husband than she was during his lifetime. I say that because God, get ready to call you out of the shadows. It's time to come out. No longer hiding behind someone else's gift. No longer hiding behind someone else to pray. No, let someone else preach. No, let someone else. No. He's calling you. He's calling you out of the shadows. He's calling you off of the bench. Your gift is needed in the body right now. You're not too young. You're not too old. Not too much of a woman. You're not too much of a man. You're just right. The Bible says the day you hear my voice. Why miss the opportunity to change your life? If you're joining us today over the internet, why? Why simply click and go to another message when you can pause right here, right now, and make a decision to join Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, and discover your gift. Discover what he's placed down inside of you. Why not give your life to him today? Why not allow him to make a change in you today, right now? With head bowed, with eyes closed, you're here this Sunday morning. Today you would like to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Ask him into your heart. Acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of saving grace. And thank him for the measure of faith he's already given you to hear the gospel, to believe and receive the blessing the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Today I come into the Father's house. Yeah, today in my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah, today I claim my place in the house of the Father. Heavenly Father, show me what's inside my house. Show me what you've put inside of me. And how I can change the world for the kingdom of God. You pray this prayer. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that you shall be saved and are right now. You've done that this morning. Christ is now your Savior. Why don't you connect with the ministry right now? Go to our website, use the contact us page. Please send me a message. Jump on our Instagram page. Send me a message. Let me know you're out there. Let me know that you're looking in the house now and that you're going to join with us in this week of fasting, in this week of prayer, consecration. Your request of the Father is simply show me what is in my house. Reach out to us today. Call the church line on the website, however you can. Let us know that you're now a part of the body of Christ. And my prayer is that God would be with you, both now and forever, and until he comes again. All of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Good word, Pastor. At this time, we will transition to our period of giving. And here at Taylor Tabernacle, you can give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving, and giving through our website. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets near the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and the other to be a blessing to the pastor. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Our announcements. Today, September 12th, the gardening classes have been canceled. Starting September 13th through the 17th, we will be having a 5-day fast. It will occur Monday through Friday, and during the 12 hours of fasting, we will increase our prayer time and reading of the Bible, and we will only drink water during that time. And at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., we will begin and end our time of fasting with a 15 to 20 minute devotion, with us all dialing into the church conference line at 775-799-9141 for prayer and scripture. Tuesday, September 14th, join Pastor Ford as he will be the guest preacher for the pastoral installation service of Pastors Calvin and Eleanor Rooks. The service will take place at Garden Gate Christian Assembly located at 815 Clifton Avenue in Collingdale, Pennsylvania. The service begins at 7 p.m. Live streaming information will be provided as we get closer to the date. September 19th, following morning service, Dwight L. Lee will host its Lean On Me series, which will focus each month on a specific area / challenge facing kids in school. This month's topic will be dealing with anxiety. The event will take place in person here at the Tabernacle, but will be also available online. for those who wish to participate virtually. The online information will be provided as we get closer to the date. Please contact Brother Khalil McFarland or Christina Rook for details. On Wednesday, September 22nd, the Fall Festival of Sukkot. And I should have wrote it down phonetically when Reverend J.C. Preached on it last week. We will join the congregation of Mainline Reformed Temple for this wonderful festival and celebration in the Jewish community. The celebration will take place at Mainline Reformed Temple at 410 Montgomery Avenue in Wynwood, Pennsylvania, 19096. It will begin outdoors at 7 p.m. with a period of fellowship and refreshments, and will move into the synagogue at 7:30 p.m. where Rabbi David Strauss will provide a message and an overview of this significant festival. Live streaming information will also be provided as we get closer to the date. Pastor Ford is asking all who can join him and his family in person, please do so for that date. And September 26th, we will be celebrating our pastor's 12th anniversary. Amen. 12 years of him feeding us the word. Amen. Our guest preacher will be Pastor Carolyn Cavanis of Bethel AME Church of Ardmore. Pastor Cavanis is the first female pastor in the church's 125-year history. And we will also have gardening classes immediately after that service. So as we celebrate our pastor's 12th anniversary, if you would like to give a special love offering for our pastor this month, you may do so online by selecting pastor's offering from the drop-down menu. Or if you would like to send him a special gift through the mail, please send it to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. We thank you, Taylor Nation, for supporting the church, and we thank you for supporting our pastor and our shepherd. If you would like to send a message of encouragement to our pastor this month or anytime, just again go to our website and use the Contact Us page to send your message, or simply call the church at 215-748-4578, and please leave a voicemail. Remember, hit subscribe on your YouTube page and follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. And as always, we again thank you for your attention. And at this time, we will turn the service back over to our pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford. Thank you.
God bless you. Shall we all stand? We went a little over this Sunday, but you'll still be home in time for kickoff. How about that, right? You'll still be home in time for kickoff. Look, let all the men say amen. Nobody... Look, thank God for that. Hey, and to the men, I just want to make this request of you, if I can. This Tuesday, if you could go with me for the pastoral installation service of Pastor Rooks. He's no stranger to us. He has been a co-laborer with us here in West Philadelphia. And now the Lord has called him out. I'm just asking the men to, I realize school has started. Kids are back in school. Activities are up and active again. But I'm asking the men, if you could, this Tuesday, 7 p.m., you heard the announcement, just join me there. Pastor Rooks would be so blessed to see your face in the place as Christ calls him out into a new work, into a new ministry. Amen. With all hearts and minds closed, let's look to the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We love you, we adore you, and we praise you. Thank you for being faithful and meeting us here again another Sunday for a word out of your text. God bless us, keep us, go with us, stand by us, fight for us. Stand up strong in the heart and the life of the believer everywhere. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen, amen, amen again.
God bless you, Taylor Nation. See you next Sunday.